honoring veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler, brought to you by this local station and its sponsors, and presented everywhere, on the air and online, by Provident Payments, one of the fastest-growing payment consultants in America. Connect today at providentpayments.com.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes and a special episode getting you ready for National Vietnam War Veterans Day on March 29th. Navy veteran Rex Perry served in Vietnam, first on a destroyer, then on swift boats. You heard him describe an incident that took place just over 55 years ago on March 10th, 1967, when their six-man boat crew was rocked by a mortar accident that cost his friend Scott Meade his arm. For another young man Rex had gotten to know quite well, Gary Friedman from Lebanon, Pennsylvania, it cost him his life.
In your scrapbook here, you have that rubbing that was taken from the wall where his name is among 58,000 others. What do you think of when you look at that, when you see that name, that pencil on paper with his name rubbed in?
Well, 3 years after they put the wall up, my wife and I went to Massachusetts because we live down here. And I told her I'd like to stop in Washington and see the wall. And she says, okay. And on the way back, we stopped. And when I walked up and touched his name, I thought I was okay. You know, I was jumpy, you know, somebody fired a shot or something like that, but I thought I was okay. And when I touched his name, I broke down. I mean, I literally went to my knees. And I just cried, just couldn't stop. Finally, after about 15 minutes, my wife says, I think we better go. And she drove. And just things started coming back. The nightmares, everything. We got home, and then about a month later, the moving wall came to the fairgrounds. And I went to it. I asked my wife to go with me, and she says, no, I can't go. My son says, come on, Dad, I'll go with you. And we went, and I broke down again. And then it went on, and I wasn't sleeping, wasn't eating good. And between my family and my friends, they talked me into going to the VA. And that's when I first started my therapy. And after a year of one-on-one, they put us in a group, and they set us in a circle. Psychologist was here, I was here, and she started here, and you went around to each one. There was 10 of us in that circle, and you told your name, what unit you were with, and so forth, and where you served in Vietnam. When it got to me, I told him my name. I said I was in the Navy. One of the Army guys spoke up and said, well, what the hell are you doing in here? You were 100 miles out. And I says, well, I wish I was. I says, I was on a swift boat to patrol the Delta. He says, you are crazy. He says, you had no place to run, no place to hide. He says, you need to be here and we need to get up and leave. I've gotten that a lot. Told me I was crazy. You think I was crazy too, don't you?
I know this question is a real hard one to answer probably, but one that I'm sure some people listening are wondering too, as we're talking about your story, but your story on that day, all those years ago, became intertwined with Gary's story. Have you ever thought about, pondered, considered maybe what kind of life he would have led if he had had these years that you've had?
Oh, yeah. I ponder the life that Scott has. I ponder the life of each one of my crew. Gary, he worked for the phone company, installation, and he would have got that job back after he got out of the Navy. Gary was happy-go-lucky. When we were going through training, him and Scott, we always called Scott the general because his name was Meade, General Meade, you know. And we always called Gary his aide because they were all together. And they was always late for muster in the morning. And they'd come walking up. Gary would always have an apple in his hand, always. Every day he had an apple in his hand. He'd be tossing it up and down. He'd eat it during the day, but he was real happy and everything. I had an Austin Healey. Three of us would jump in it and go to Tijuana. We'd go down there and have a ball. I was 21. They weren't. So they could drink in Tijuana. But he was really a happy young man. He always made you laugh, always had a smile on his face. You know, he was just great to be around.
Well, thank you for for going there with us and helping us understand what you've lived all these years. I don't want to gloss over anything else you experienced there in your time in the Swift boats, because now you have the perspective of other veterans, like you mentioned, the Army veteran, saying, hey, well, that was pretty crazy what you did. And so few did it. I mean, it was such a unique part of the war in Vietnam, and a lot of people didn't even know it was happening for a long time.
The thing is, as much as the Swift boaters hate John Kerry, okay, he was the one that made it known what Swift boats are. You wouldn't have known, or you wouldn't have known what Swift boat was unless it was for John Kerry. That's the only thing I'll give to that man, you know. But he was the one that brought out Swift boaters.
So what else do you think we need to know about Swift boaters and the contributions that you all made over there?
Swift boaters are unique in a lot of ways. You could walk through that door and come up to me and introduce yourself, and I'd say, where you served? And he said, I was in the Navy, and I was on Swift boats. Immediately, we're brothers. I mean, I got guys on my Facebook that I didn't know in Vietnam, but we have a common bond together as Swift boaters. They know what I went through. I know what they went through. We understand each other, and the reunions are just fantastic. They are really, really good. When we had it in St. Louis, Budweiser provided the beer for us for 5 days. And I think there was 950 of us. Yeah.
So when are you going back to St. Louis?
I don't. But at the reunions, I mean, I've been to 10 or 12 of them, probably. And I didn't know them in Vietnam, but I know them now. We'd stand outside at the smoke cigarettes and tell war stories and lies and stuff like that. Yeah, it's a unique bunch of men.
And as far as the impact of the work that you guys did there, is there a way you would describe that or explain that, encapsulate that for people who weren't there or don't know?
It would be hard for me to explain. The people in Vietnam, the people themselves, are fantastic people. And like every place, it's the government. I've got a lot of friends that have gone back to Vietnam. They had a contingent going out of Missouri before the pandemic hit. And the guy that was getting it up, I wanted to go, but I wouldn't have been able to go because my wife has had a stroke and I'm the caretaker. But he has been back, that would have been his third time. Rex, he says, you wouldn't believe the way it's changed. Everything has changed. Said, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful country. It was beautiful. It was war-torn, but it was a beautiful country. A lot of people tell me, I don't see how you took it and so forth. It was a job. We only lost 50 guys in 7 years, but we had a lot of wounded.
Yeah, on that note, did you have any other close calls that kind of stand out in your mind where it could have been you, almost was you?
A couple. A guy that I worked with asked me if his girlfriend could call me and ask me some questions about Vietnam. Not sure, have her to call me. And she called me and she asked all kinds of questions. And I get the question all the time. Not all the time anymore, but used to get the question all the time. Have you killed anybody? I said, I don't talk about it, you know, and that's another thing that I don't talk about. That's just the way I feel. I said, I won't answer that, all right? That's just it.
And on your Vietnam veteran hat, you've got a pin on there that's relatively new. At first glance, I almost thought you were on submarines because it kind of looks like the dolphins that those submariners wear, but it's not, and it's got three different kinds of boats on it. But that's a relatively new development. What did it mean to you and your fellow Swift boaters when the government issued those pins or approved them finally?
We were happy about it because we always felt that we deserved it. You know, a small boat pin. When they finally approved it, and well, they had to come up with a design and everything, and they finally got it approved at, I want to say we were in San Diego. When we went into dinner, they had guys standing there handing them out. I wear mine proudly. I'm a lover and a fighter and a Swift boat rider. I read 2 or 3 months ago where they said that 390 Vietnam vets are dying every day. And they said by the year 25 that there will be none or very few Vietnam vets. So we're dying quicker than any other war we've ever had due to Agent Orange, suicide, and so forth. You know, when we got back, we were trash when we got back, you know. And we only did what we were trained to do and what we were told to do. My daughter-in-law's mother, I was talking to her, my grandson started growing his hair. And I said, man, you need a haircut. Because she goes, no, no, no. She says, you know, I was raised in the 60s and said, it was long hairs and everything. And I almost said, was you the one that Travis throwing stuff at me and to call me baby killer? I almost said that because she's from California. September 11th, I was chosen a year ago to go on an honor flight. It was postponed, but September 11th of 21, I finally went with 25 other veterans out of Melbourne. When we got on that bus, came to Orlando, we had a police escort, plus we had a contingent from the Rolling Thunders in front of us. We got to the airport, got off. We had to be in a wheelchair. And my son, I asked if he could be my guardian, and they said, yeah, and he flew down from North Carolina and went with me. When we went through the Orlando airport, people were standing up, thanking us for our service, coming over, shaking our hands, and everything. We had a World War II veteran that was 92 years old with us. We had a guy that was born and raised in Alaska that was in Vietnam. He had 3 silver stars and 7 bronze stars with a combat V. They were chosen to lay the wreath at the unknown soldier. But when we got to Baltimore, we got off the plane and started through the airport, and people were doing the same thing. When we got to Washington, went to the World War II Memorial. It has a gallery at the top, and then you can go down where the fountain is. Well, we went down where the fountain is, and they took a photo, and people were holding up signs, welcome home, thank you for your service and everything. And as we walked from there to the Korean Memorial, to the Vietnam Memorial and so forth, people were just stopping and thanking us, you know. And, well, I was just with my son because they scattered and we had to meet him one place. And people were thanking me and everything else. My son said, Pop, he says, you know, he says, I was beginning to lose faith in the American people, but said, this trip has changed my mind. He says, the way they're treating you guys and just being with you and the way I see they're treating you and I know what you went through, he said, it's amazing. Then we went to the Vietnam Memorial, and he says, you know what panel Gary's name's on? I said, of course. So we go, found his name, and he said, they told us that there would be someone here with paper to rub his name off. I says, I got one. He says, well, I want to get one from your grandson. So I looked around, there was a lady up there, and I got out of the wheelchair and went over, and I says, are you the lady that has the paper to scratch a name? She said, yes. She says, you know where it is? I said, yes, ma'am. She says, come on. I went, and I says, started to take the paper. She said, no, let me do it for you. And she did it. And she asked me, she said, was you with this young man? I said, yes, ma'am. I said, he was on my riverboat. She says, what kind of boat were you on? I told her a swift boat. She says, I have seen movies. I have seen things on YouTube about swift boats. She says, oh my God, you know, what you guys went through. We must talk to her 15 or 20 minutes. She was just like you, full of questions. I told her, I says, well, we have to leave now to meet up with the contingents because we were going to Arlington. And she says, just a minute, I got to give you a hug. She says, you're the first swift boat sailor I've ever met. So I hugged her. We met up with the contingent and went to Arlington. And then we got back on the bus and went to Baltimore to get the plane. And we left at 2 o'clock in the morning, and we got back at 2 o'clock in the morning. It's a 24-hour trip. When we got back to Orlando and we got off the monorail, there was a Boy Scout troop. The TSA Honor Guard was there. The Boy Scouts were shaking our hands and saying welcome home, and the TSA was, you know, at a salute. And we got through, and then when we got back to Melbourne, the Honor Guard from Patrick Air Force Base was there, and they had crossed swords when we got off the bus that we went under. I've had people, and it took many, many years for people to thank me for my service. And I would say thank you, and, you know, but I never felt welcomed home. But the honor trip to Washington, I felt like I was finally welcomed home after 55 years. It's still with me. I'm still in a glow about it. The feeling I have that the welcome we got, and it just felt like my welcome home.
Well, let me add welcome home. And thank you. Thank you for serving our country and for sharing a story with us that nobody else could. Is there anything else that you think is important for us to know?
God bless America. And if I see servicemen, I always tell them welcome home. because I know how it feels.
Sounds like an example we would all do well to follow. Thanks to Rex Perry and again to VFW Post 10147 in Apopka, Florida for allowing us to record Rex's powerful story there. For every one of those more than 58,000 names on the wall in Washington, names like Gary Friedman, there's another one like Scott Mead dealing with significant visible injuries, and still more like Rex Perry and his late brother battling the invisible injuries that can sometimes prove even more devastating. March 29th is National Vietnam War Veterans Day. Rex Perry gave us an example of what we can do to honor the Vietnam vets where we live, so let's make sure they hear a thank you and a welcome home, shall we? Thanks for listening to this special edition of Hometown Heroes. I'm Paul Leffler, reminding you again that freedom is not free.
To let Paul know about a veteran in your life, visit hometownheroesradio.com and click on Suggest a Veteran. Today's program has been brought to you by Provident Payments. Give your business the edge only their personalized service can deliver at providentpayments.com.